It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Christine Kennedy. Subbing for the smartest guy, Adam Van Wee.
Adam and family are, as we speak, winging their way west. They're going to get put down in Las Vegas, where they're going to do a Cirque du Soleil with the kids, which sounds fun. And then they're headed off to California for a variety of adventures. So he's got some well-deserved time off, and he'll be calling in next week from California so we can all kind of catch up on their adventures of the first week gone. And we'll see what else happens. But I always like it when Christine agrees to come in, because there's so much overlap between what we do and what she does, because let's face it, money involves everybody. And the biggest purchase most people make, and especially when they're young, is a home. So there's, if we want to do one of the VP's famous Venn diagrams, there's a big overlap in those circles. So we're going to talk today. I've been kind of concentrating the last couple of weeks on the problems that young people are having. So we want to spend a little bit of time figuring out how they can get along. Christine has some very innovative ideas for young people who are trying to buy a home. We'll, of course, get in on that. Then a bunch of other things. So before we do any of that, to our regulars, welcome. You're the reason we always get up Saturday and do this. You keep coming back. We'll keep coming back. That's how it works. If you're new to the show, or if you're one of the many, many people from out of town, you're driving along in the car, maybe headed out to the golf tournament, and you've got the radio on, and here, stick around for an hour. I promise you, you'll pick up something on the way. You get a little something aside from golf if you do it that way. And remember, I remind all the local people, there are a lot of people in from out of town. A lot of people don't know their way around that well. Some will be a little bit tentative with where they're going. Cut them a little slack. Just remember, every out-of-state plate has inside that car a giant American Express card just waiting to dump some money in Jacksonville. Take it. Stay safe.
How was your drive-in?
Well,
did you have tons of traffic?
It wasn't bad on Butler westbound at all from a congestion standpoint. It was a little heavy on the eastbound, as you might expect, headed out toward the tournament. But the pickup trucks on the westbound, tailgating and lights flashing and swerving and cutting between cars and trying to go 90 in a 65 zone, people are crazy. I wish they would just have a little more consideration. Not so bad for people that are used to it, because they do it all the time around here. But it's tournament week, you know. You gotta cut them some slack. Remember, among the other topics we're going to discuss today is insurance. And I was just thinking about car insurance as I was coming in today. You know that Florida has the second highest car insurance rates in the country?
I can believe that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that, but the example of we always learn something when we listen.
Exactly. Know what state is first? You'll never get it. This is strictly
obviously
a teaser.
My first guest is New York, but obviously it's not going to be that.
Nope.
Well, they don't have cars. Why would I say that? They don't even drive up there. They don't even own cars. Bad guess, Christine.
There is something to that line of thinking. Absolutely. The worst is Michigan. And if anybody finds that funny, I will guarantee you they've never been to Detroit and driven around that town. Because once you have, you'll understand completely. You want to talk about people who are nuts, 100 miles an hour down the freeway, full of potholes the size of a Volkswagen, looking back in the back seat, talking to people. We did it once, left, never again. Anyway, that was a little aside, just a little color for the day.
That's interesting, because my corporate office is in Detroit.
In Detroit.
So Trey and I go up there every single November.
To look around,
we go every November.
Yeah. And my daughter works for Ford, so she gets up there once in a while, too. And I haven't really quizzed her about it yet, but and maybe they got better over the years. And maybe they didn't.
And maybe they did.
All right. I guess I can't avoid the market forever. It was a week that didn't feel particularly interesting, up a little, down a little here and there. wound up no index lost even as much as 1 percentage point, although all three were down a little bit. So I'd call it a sort of a no big deal market. What has happened, though, in the last few months, since November or so, we've had quite a run-up in the market, and it got to the point of being very overbought, where if you were looking for a bargain, you weren't going to find it. And when that happens, it is very, very common to go into pause mode for a while. And all that does is just kind of, you know, up, down, float around until something like the averages, 50, 200-day averages, have a chance to catch up with the price of things. And then you see some new money coming in. And the interesting timing here is that we're almost at April. And April is a notoriously good month for the market because a lot of people are putting money into IRAs and that kind of thing by April 15th. So there's a kind of a push in the demand side of the curve. That could happen just about the time the market is catching up to itself. I would have to say, looking forward a few weeks, I think things will probably wind up a little bit better than they are now. And it has not been a bad year. So far, the Dow is up 2.7, but the S&P is up 7.3 and the NASDAQ 6.4. And it's only the 16th of March. So I'd say all signs are pretty good. There are some disturbing things going on, though. And one of them is retail sales. Retail sales went up about 1.5, I think. But there's a problem with statistics, and it's another topic I'm going to get in today is statistics. But the problem is that retail sales are measured in dollars, not inflation-corrected dollars. So in real terms, 9 out of the last 12 months, including last month, retail sales are down. And we got a 70% retail-driven, consumer-driven economy, and people are cutting back in the actual quantity of purchase, even though they're spending a lot of money. At the same time, the credit card debt is rising extremely fast, and the more it rises, the more they charge for it. And that is going to be a very big drag on the market, on the economy first, which will be reflected in the market, if that starts to really catch up. And I don't know exactly how long it'll take. And I see the trend. The other thing that Adam wants to talk about, the yield curve on interest rates is still inverted. It's been inverted a long time. It's a little bit better, but we're talking about more than a year now of an inverted yield curve. That is a really solid predictor of recession, but what most people don't realize is that recession doesn't come for a couple of years. So we're just getting into the time now where it could start to have a serious impact on things. But so far, so good, and we'll take it from there. We'll be right back with our trivia question and lots more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Christine Kennedy.
And you all probably heard that unless you just tuned in. Christine is subbing for Adam today, who's out having a good time.
Being the best dad ever, as always.
Absolutely.
What he's best at? Honestly, he is the best dad at experiences.
Yeah.
Right? He gives his time to his kids, right? He's always doing something them, for them, side by side. He's just incredible at experiences.
When he was young, real young, and we still lived in Wisconsin, and we started directing him about the rest of his life, because that's Sarah and I, both that kind of people, I guess. So we told him, for instance, yes, you can play basketball if your grades don't fail, things like that. And he picked up on it, and he became an outstanding time manager. He has been able to allocate his time to so many things a lot better than most people do, and it's treated him well. And one of those is taking the experiences with the family. And his kids do anything and everything. They're good at traveling. They're good at a lot of things. They play sports. They're excellent students. You know, it's working. Just whatever it is, it's working.
You can take credit as the Well, you can take all you and
I actually think it was Sarah lecturing.
Okay, but, we'll give it to her.
But she,
we'll give it to her.
We talk about it. I'll give her credit. And she's listening, so I got to give her credit where it's due. No doubt about it. Anyway, we do have a trivia question today, and this is going to be on the one of the sort of overriding themes for the day. It's statistics, which are used for so many things. I know everybody hates statistics and all that, but you'll see why. As usual, I have a point. This bull market we're in right now, on Tuesday we hit a new high in the S&P 500, and that extended the market now, the bull market, to something like 517 days, which seems pretty long. Right? It's up in during this bull market, it's up 44.7%, which seems perhaps, okay, not out of line. The median, which we'll explain in a while, for bull markets is up 76.7%. So we're at 45 and the median 77. What is the average, meaning the numerical average for all bull markets? And I'm not going to give you any hints about that. All right, a little bit more about the market. We have had, we said, 9 out of the past 12 months. The retail sales have been down in real terms. The core CPI has been rising for a few months now. We had some inflation numbers come out this past week. They weren't terrible, but they weren't down. And there's things in there that are keeping them going. And I don't see the impetus for a big, quick reduction right now in CPI or interest rates or anything. I heard Angela talking on the way in. And for those of you who carried over, Christine was doing the show with Angela too. And she was talking about the market having expected 6 interest rate cuts this year and how all of a sudden that has changed. And now most people are thinking 3. I'm not even sure I'm up to 3. I won't rule it out, but certainly no more than that. So it's going to be, I think Powell's going to do his job. His job is virtually impossible, fighting inflation. It gets kind of built in. Things go up, you have to get paid more, everything costs more, buy more. It's a vicious spiral, and I don't see how it's going to change very much. Now, there's a move on that I've been hearing about over the last couple of days. Some people are trying to petition the Fed to change their target inflation rate from 2 to 3. I grew up learning economics a long, long time ago that the ideal rate of inflation was about 3. Why they changed it to 2, I have no idea, but they did. Do I care if it's 2 or 3? No, except I think one of those is unreasonable. But it doesn't take long to cost you a lot of money. Problem with people retiring, and I got a real good statistic on this one. You know what the 20-year average inflation rate is?
I wouldn't know that, but Adam would have probably known it if he was sitting here.
Maybe. It's only at about 50% right now over 20 years, but it's rising. Historically, like throughout the 80s, it was over 100%, and for a period in the late 80s and early 90s, it was 250% over 20 years. Now,
makes now sound kind of okay.
Yeah, it depends how you're looking at things, of course, because it always does. What if you're fixing to retire right now, reasonably good health, and your life expectancy says, well, you should have 20 to 30 years in retirement, and you've got it all worked out so you can make ends meet even in the inflation? If the average over 20 years runs around 100%, which it does, that means you're going to be needing twice as much in 20 years toward the end of your life in retirement. How many people are going to underplan because they don't realize that?
Well, that's why they should all have you.
That is the best answer I could have come up with. And we don't even pay her. It's true.
It's
just something to think about.
The amount of money I feel that most Americans don't even think about where I think most Americans, we live in our now. We live in our today's Saturday. What do we want to buy today? We want to go to the TPC. We want to have an experience. We want to have drinks and food and, of course, a new outfit and great shoes to walk around. We want to just live in the now. I don't think that we think about retirement. We might think about it, but then you think we'll be okay with Social Security, but then that might go away. But I don't think that most think about the amount of money that we need. You know, I'm 49 now, crazy. And I am going to want to stop working. And there is a number that I need to able to stop working to be able to be okay. And I don't think that most Americans think about that number. And that's what you deal with all day, every day, is you plan people's retirement and how they can retire and have the life that they want now and later, and then how they can maintain. That's what you do all day, every day. But that's not what most Americans think about.
That's one of the
critical
parts of all of it. There was a set of commercials not that many years ago, and I don't know if anybody remembers these, but what's your number? Number would pop up on the head. It would say 1,800,000 or something like that. And there is no magic number. There is your magic number. And Adam and I are, I guess you call us old-fashioned if you want to, but we still believe in the safe withdrawal rate of about 4%, which means take the income you want in retirement, multiply it by 25, and that's how much cash you have invested in order to spin off that 4% with a likelihood that it will grow a little over time. Well, 25 times, a lot of money. Especially if you want something like $100,000, 25 times that, you're looking at some serious change. And people who don't realize this can be caught off guard real easily. The offsets to that, what I call equivalent net worth, that's a term I coined a long, long time ago. If you have a pension, for instance, and that pension pays you $50,000 a year, take that number times 25, and you can put that on your balance sheet as an equivalent net worth because that pension lasts forever. Everybody's got the greatest annuity ever, almost everybody. It's called Social Security. That is the same as having 25 times whatever your annual is, and the good news there is that it is adjusted to a degree for inflation. So if you're looking and you say, really, I need $150,000 or $100,000, and you don't factor in your equivalent net worth, you're probably going to throw your hands up in the air and just give up and go home. It's not that hard to do. You have to, of course, save Social Security and that kind of thing, which is a topic we've talked about many times. But in order to do any of this, and this is sort of my fundamental premise that's going to start our conversation about youthful people, the typical American has a woeful lack of knowledge and understanding about money. And I would imagine you see that all the time because you dig into the real serious problems about money. Do you think that there's any hope, basically? You can only save the world one by one, right?
But that's how we do it, one by one. Yeah. I have a lot of great stories currently now, you know, that are going on right now that are just great, beautiful, wonderful American dream stories.
And we have a little segment coming up on that right after the next break, I imagine.
Yeah.
We've been looking at a couple of them. It's sort of, well, I'll let you guys name it maybe, but it's not all bad news out there.
We have some happy stories that are now.
Also, Florida was maybe the first in the nation. Governor DeSantis passed into law the curriculum that has to include personal finance. I don't know exactly how or when it's being implemented and how far down it goes, but you have to be able to balance a checkbook to go to step two, and I'm not sure everybody can even do that anymore. It's that bad.
What's a checkbook? those old-fashioned things, yeah. Those ledger things.
Well, you know, when we were
my kid
your
probably
age,
doesn't even know what that is.
Yeah, you're probably right. when we were your age, the oldest line in the book was, how can I be out of money? I still have checks in my checkbook.
I still have checks.
Yep. So we're going to talk about that and have a couple of real-life cases coming up and a few cautions for the older people at the same time. Don't go anywhere. It's going to get fun. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy, hanging out while Adam is being the best dad ever.
Yep. And we're about to dig into it. One of the things I want to, maybe I won't put this up first. I think learning by case study is really good. Christine has a couple of case studies that she sent me some stats on, and I want her to explain what's going on with these people and what she can and did do about it and what they can and did do about it, and let's see how it wound up. And I'll probably interject along the way on at least one of them.
So for all of our listeners, Steve called and said, you know, that he really wants to talk about the young people coming up, because I have, you know, Trey and I have a 26-year-old, a 24-year-old, and a 21-year-old. And then, of course, Adam has little ones coming up. So it's a real topic of the young people. So Steve said he wanted to talk about the affordability of the younger generation. So I have a couple of real cases, and the first one is Montano. Real life, real person, real case, real story. Graduated from the University of Florida. Woo-woo. Go Gators. And just graduated, got a real job at Bank of America for $78,000 a year. Real job.
Good start.
First job out of the gate at a bank.
Outstanding.
So we take that, and everything that I do is monthly. So we take that income, and we have about $6,500 a month in income. And then what we do in the mortgage land is we say, okay, you have 50% of your income that we can put to your whole entire life. So we have about, you know, $3,200 of money that we can put toward all of life. Well, this one has a student loan. So the student loans were $120,000. The real payment, so there was two options. The first option was $1,200 for 10 years or $600 for 20 years. So real, now we're minusing off $600 in student loan debt, but there's no car payment. The parents gave their car, their old car, to the graduate as the graduation present, right? So it's pretty great. She has a 5, 6, 7-year-old car. It's great. Mom and dad had it. It was fully maintained, fully taken care of, and this is going to be, you know, her car.
Well, for comparison, my car will be 14 years old this year, and my wife's car just turned 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
If they work, drive them. Pretty simple.
Yeah. And that's probably what, if you had 5 tips of life for little ones, you'd probably say, get a car and drive it forever. I'm exactly sure you would say that. Right.
Even if you spend a little bit more to get a good one that you know is going to be reliable, if you don't have to trade it in, if you got the mentality that says, I don't even want to trade it in, buy a good car, keep it for a long, long time. We haven't made a car payment since I can remember.
So
this kid,
Van Wee,
right, is doing it right.
Right. And, you know, you got to give credit. You know, I'm going to go with the parents. You know, the parents get some credit starting. So she's got $6,500 in income. We can spend 50%. So we've got $3,200 for all of life, minus out the student loan, because that's a real debt that they have to pay monthly. So we still have $2,600 that we can put toward a mortgage.
Which even today will buy you something.
Absolutely. So we're doing a loan for $300,000. And we're doing a first-time home buyer program. We're going to do 3% down, $9,000,
okay,
which she has. Interest rates, you know, are high sixes right now. So with her taxes, her insurance, her property taxes, her homeowner's insurance, and mortgage insurance, because she's not putting 20% down, her payment's going to be $2,500. Affordable.
Made it all day
by herself, own credit, own income, own down payment, all by herself. Done.
And
perfectly.
As a real benefit, a house that you own at 22.
Yes.
Because it's just like saving for retirement. The earlier you start, by far, the better off you are. I would not like to walk up to a landlord every month and hand him $2,100 bills. Mm-hmm. That would not be fun. And that's essentially what people are doing by renting.
And Angela and I were talking about it, you know, early, is that rent prices right now for Jacksonville are expensive.
I was listening.
Yeah.
It's appalling.
Rentals for apartments are high, and everybody, you know, they took a jack up last year. I don't know what they'll do this year. I'm not attached to that. But, you know, so this particular wonderful story is a real house with a real person. So there's three basics to a loan. We have income, we have asset, we have credit. And credit you get from using your credit, paying your bills on time. Income, you know, that's the first point. And then, you know, assets, you know, in this case, she had her own down payment. But there's ways, you know, there's ways of getting that also. So that's the...
That's kind of doing it right.
Doing it right. I call it. Yeah. That's right.
And then...
And then... another true, real story, closing on Monday. This borrower, $17 an hour. True. Makes $17 an hour.
Which, so, to a young person, can sound like a lot of money.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not.
Works 40 hours a week, so we take $17 an hour times 40. So that's $29.47 per month. So we have, just say $3,000. So we have $3,000 that we can spend for all of life.
Cut that in half now, right?
Right. Now we have $1,500 that we can spend. She doesn't have a car payment. Don't actually know why. Don't have the story. No student loans, because there's no student loans. But she does have a couple of credit cards, 2, 3, 4, that equals $150 a month. So we have $1,500 that we can spend minus her $150. There's really no money for a mortgage, really. But in her particular case, her grandfather said, I'll co-sign for you.
And that was the word I was waiting for.
Yes. So grandpa is co-signing and putting up his income and his credit for the granddaughter. So she's able, closing on Monday, she's able to buy a home because the grandfather is co-signing.
Well, you could look at it as pre-inheritance, I guess. But to everybody out there with children and grandchildren, be very, very careful when it comes to co-signing anything. Far too many parents get involved with things like student loans, car loans, and with either of them, if the kid just stops paying, guess what? You get a knock at your door, and it can be very, very upsetting financially to do that, not to mention dinging your own credit.
It will. It will. So she is closing. She bought a townhome in Tampa. Purchase price is $239, but she has the HOA fee because it's a townhome. So the HOA fee is $495.
Wow.
So her taxes, her insurance, her mortgage insurance, and her HOA fee. So her real payment, it will be $2,500.
And about half of that is grandpa?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, more power to her.
Yes, but she's buying a home, first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
We got down payment assistance. For the down payment, we got her $10,000. Mm-hmm. The seller's paying her closing costs. So she's into the home for nothing. Hmm. Cost of the appraisal and a home inspection, $1,000. And she's buying a home. Grandpa's just going to have to help every single month with the stipend. It's going to have to be, his income is going to have to help paying for the payment. But she's not renting. She'll be a homeowner.
Right.
So it could be lots of positives, lots of negatives, lots of red flags, lots of, oh, I would never do that. I would never let my daughter do that. But it's a real story.
Well, nobody has explained anything about the person and his character and all that. But the need to improve yourself seems like it should find its way into this story. I don't know if it's there or not. But that brings us to a series of other topics.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we were talking before the show started, how do kids get by these days on what anybody can make? The price of things is so completely out of whack. You know, everybody's heard the famous $24 burger story at Five Guys. It's unfathomable to me that anybody would do that. Then you go to Publix or anywhere else and you look at what things cost. Then you stop by and you fill up your gas tank. It's 30 cents more expensive than it was not long ago. and oil prices closed above 81 this week. It doesn't look like it's going to change much. From now till Memorial Day, it's very typical to see rising prices because these are the times that people are driving. What do you do if you're young? And that's all I'm talking about is just getting by. I'm not talking about getting ahead at all yet. How do you do it? And don't think I don't feel sorry for the young people. I know what all the things that tug at you when you're young, and you're trying to get a job and go to work, and you got to come home to a place, you got to have a car to get there, you got to eat, you might want to get married, have kids, hopefully take a vacation sometime during the year. And you just showed the numbers. Somebody making $17 an hour, that's not going to happen.
Not without help.
No. And what a lot of people are doing, and the statistics are right there at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more people are working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs now than ever before.
Absolutely. They have a normal job and then a side job. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about the other jobs when we get back. There are some things going on as soon as tomorrow that have me deeply concerned. The unintended consequences of real idiots that we elected, mostly because they ran, I guess. We've got a serious situation coming up, and I'll give you a real-life example of how it can affect people. It hasn't actually taken hold yet, but it's going to if nobody does anything. It's on the whole issue of gig work. Governments everywhere, local, state, federal, are trying to virtually eliminate gig work. Gig work equals second jobs. And we'll go into the details on that and why it's a red flag as soon as we get back. So don't go anywhere. We'll pay some bills. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy.
And I remind everyone, lines are open, 904-222-8255.
They need to try to answer that trivia question.
I am going to repeat it right now. This bull market that we're currently in has a 44.7, around it, 45% gain in the S&P 500. The median gain for all bull markets is 77. What is the average gain for all bull markets? And now I'm going to make it easier because it's the fourth segment. It's even higher. And I'll explain that and how those things happen.
Right before we leave, so Trey's hanging out with us. Trey, you got a guess? Don't say it now because listener might call in and get the gift card from.
Well, that would be fine. Absolutely.
Be thinking of your answer, Trey. I know you have one.
Spending Ken's money is a great thing. I love it. He's a good man.
Yes.
All right. California last year tried to implement a law that virtually no one liked, trying to get rid of almost all gig work. Now, you can call gig workers the 1099ers, the freelancers, self-employed, whatever. It means you work, you get paid, and you're responsible for the rest of it. For some reason, I sort of understand it, but I can't think like they do. They want all those people to have to be employees. Well, if you're an employee, the company can tell you when and where you're going to go to work. And that's not how these things work. The Lyft and Uber drivers work because what? Because there's a time and a place where the demand is high. The company could say, no, that's not your, excuse the expression,
gig. You can't work at the TPC, you know, Saturday from 10 to 10. We want you to work 8 to 5.
Yeah. Just like that. So it was basically shouted down by, Uber and Lyft, among others. So now let's go up to the Twin Cities. If there is a more bizarre place on this earth, I have not been there. These people are stark raving nuts. And that includes the governor, Governor Walz. They're just ridiculous. And the Minnesota Nice is a real thing. They're nice people. They're just think crazy. So they are trying to implement their own version of that. And they didn't say you couldn't be one. They said that you could be one, but you had to make sure, your employer had to make sure that even working as a gig worker, you made at least $15.23 an hour. And Lyft and Uber said, we're leaving. End of discussion.
Done.
You pass that, we're out of here. We close up shop right now. That's that. I don't know what'll happen. They're crazy enough, I can't predict them. And that's the truth. So now comes the federal level. The woman's name is, I can't remember her first name. Her last name is Sue. And she has been the acting head of the Department of Labor. And she is trying to implement her own version of the anti-gig law. And it takes place, unless something magic happens, tomorrow.
Really?
Yes, tomorrow. Wow. So all of a sudden, A, it's the lawyer's annuity. Imagine if this goes into effect nationwide and people who don't want to be employees sue. And by the way, it's not companies like Uber and Lyft that are the biggest noise in all of this. It's the people who use them for their gig jobs. They're the noise. I want to make my extra money. I might be driving home and take someone to the airport. Just flip the light on, take someone to the airport, and then I go home. Who knows what they're going to make on a run like that, New York and places like that. But if they had to be employees, they couldn't do this. So people are going to be standing on every street corner in New York and Los Angeles and everywhere else waiting for a ride, and the only thing that might come along is a yellow cab. Why do people take Lyft and Uber? Because it's there.
It's cheaper.
It's inexpensive.
It's cheaper. When I just went to, where'd I go? Oh, I had to go to San Diego for I went to the taxi cab, and it was a 45-minute drive from the airport to the hotel where I had to go to. The taxi cab was $100. And then I walked three steps over and clicked my Uber app, and it was half the price. It was half the price. So obviously I chose the Uber. That was like 3 weeks ago. Trey was so proud of me too. He's like, oh.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, so you're saying that.
It could hit the fan tomorrow.
That could go away. That would be life-changing.
It would.
Because we call Uber to take us through the air. I mean, just so many options.
Yeah.
When like the TPC, what a safe way to get around. Have your drinks and then Uber safely home.
This falls
St. Patty's Day. Safely drink and then.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for
Uber.
For the bar scene?
Uber or Lyft home.
Oh,
safely.
Our kids go out on weekends like everybody else's kids, and they will not drive, period. Mm-hmm. They will Uber it everywhere they go. And those Uber drivers are making a lot of money, and they're saving a lot of money and not exposing themselves to legality problems, that sort of thing. It's very smart. And the government has this seeming need when they see anything they don't like to do something. And if there's one time when you should do nothing, it's now. This system works. Don't try to fix it. But they have this thing, and I don't think Ms. Sue is going to get confirmed for the seat. That would help a lot. She's got a lot of opposition in Congress. And I hope that they don't squeak her through by the one vote that it would take. But if this thing passes, I promise you it's going to be a big mess, and a lot of real honest-to-goodness people are going to suffer, and a lot of those will be young people. So what else can a young person do besides earn more money? You're going to go out and just get a better job and pay more? I'm just flabbergasted by the whole thing. You know, you showed how you just can't do it. If you're in the situation that Michaela.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in that situation, you're making $17 and you want to buy a house, God bless you if you can. And that's why people like you are around. But what if you can't? And you're paying these ungodly rents in and not getting anywhere. And I am truly empathizing with young people today. And Trey is listening in. With us here, he was talking about credit cards. And now the government did another thing. They did something, and crazy Uncle Joe says, well, you know, late fees on credit cards are way too high. You can only charge
$8.
$8. $8 for a late fee. Why not just round it down to zero, Joe? Make them illegal. Then nobody will pay. it's the same thing over and over and over with these people. I don't know if it's the legal or the practical definition of stupidity. They never learn. They just never, ever learn. They're not helping kids get going. They really aren't. How about student loans? Let's not charge them student loan money for a long time. Would you have to include that they will start again and
yes.
applying for a mortgage?
Absolutely. Because during the 30 years of the mortgage, they're going to have a student loan payment. Mm-hmm. So we always, even if any of them of any form, they're currently in school, they have a student loan debt, we are going to take a number and we're going to hit for that debt as part of their amount.
And
whether they're making it or not, they will be over the 30 years of the mortgage. Yeah. So we count it.
Net result, they did something and they had unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. It never fails. All right, let's talk about numbers. The current bull market is up 45%. The median for bull markets is 77%, but the average is 114%.
Those
big numbers. A median price is that number at which there are more, the equal amounts of readings that are higher and lower. And whatever that number is, I've got a little example I can use, but the average is different. The average, let's keep it in the real estate market. Median price is what they like to use for houses. So sometimes they'll say, well, the median price went up, and they'll say houses are more expensive. Well, I'm sorry, but those two things don't mean the same thing. All that means is that more people bought the more expensive ones. It doesn't say by how much. The average is when you take the collective sales and you divide by the number of sales. Well, the average bull market number is because some of the bull markets go